好，那在预备的时候我们好，没问题就是说我们今天会持续的再挖深一点我们上个礼拜所分享的题目。那上个礼拜有分享到我们为什么会需要为以色列祷告，那希望大家还记得我给的三个原因。其实Michael 之前也有跟我们分享过我们为什么会需要为以色列祷告。那你有空的话，你想再回想或者再回去看的话，你可以看上个礼拜的录影。那我们就是分享到，虽然我们需要为以色列的救恩来祷告，可是很多时候就像刚才的 PPT 你看到的下一页就是有什么事情会拦阻犹太人认识神，认识耶稣，成为他们的弥赛亚。那我们上个礼拜有看了几个经文，那我们今天会再简单的重复一下下这部分。那就是哥林多后书，我们再次一起念一下好不好？但他们的心
帕子在基督里已经废去了，然而直到今日每逢诵读摩西书的时候，帕子还在他们心上。
Amen, Amen。 好感谢主。这样子就是第一个原因，就是这个帕子。那我上个礼拜有就更深的形容这个帕子到底是什么。那我觉得这个经文里面已经讲得蛮清楚了，他们读旧约的时候他们读不懂，他们没办法意识到耶稣是他们的弥赛亚。就是为什么会没有办法意识到呢？那很多他们就是跟着拉比的教导，那拉比的教导很多时候就是有讲到很多方面为什么耶稣不是他们的弥赛亚。那我在上面列了三点，我再简单的重复一下，就是他们觉得耶稣 不是他们的弥赛亚的原因，是因为耶稣回来的时候他说他会把所有犹太人在全地遭聚在以色列这块地上按着以赛亚书43章的应许。那另外一个就是撒加利亚书14章9节，他说神在这个地上的时候，他会把认识耶和华的知识遍满全地。那这个借着遍满全地对于犹太人的愤怒还有对彼此的愤怒，其实都不会再有在这个 不再会存在在这个地球上就是 hatred 啊，或者oppression, suffering, 或者 yeah, 就是其实这个全世界就会合一。那他们其实就是他们绊倒的地方是他耶稣第一次来的时候，甚至他的门徒也跟他一起，别的犹太人被绊倒，是他们觉得神是要把罗马帝国逆转然后翻转，然后他要把他的国设立在这个地上，可是他们就没有看见这件事情发生，他们没办法接受。这样子其实以赛亚书53章是他们常常神需要借着这个我听过很多的故事，神借着这一章以赛亚书53章到这一节就是让很多的犹太人经历到这个真理，为什么耶稣真的是他们的弥赛亚，他们眼睛被打开的时候他们就是真的是能够接受耶稣是他们的救主这样子。就是现在其实这个是在读旧约的时候他们没办法认识耶稣的其中一个拦阻。那另外一个也是今天我们会挖深比较多一点的，就是之前很多的基督徒因为基督教的原因，就是错误的理解圣经的经文带给犹太人的迫害，无论是大屠杀或者这个 crusade。 那我这次回去就是把 Michael 在一年前左右的一个他在带我们在那个比较大的教会特会的时候，那个 conference or meeting， 他有讲到教会的这个反犹太主义是怎么来的，那在哪一些很有名的圣徒中他们是怎么样子的错误的教导他的教，就是基督徒怎么样子的仇恨犹太人。 So yeah, 那我们就到下一页，这个就是我需要你们帮忙的地方。 OK, 这个是我们一起就从头念到底好不好？ Michael, can you help? 谢谢。
Tribulian, 耶稣的死归咎于犹太民，恨犹太人是基督徒的本分。奥古斯丁，马太福音21章8到22节， 耶稣所讲不结果子的无花果树的比方应用在犹太人，犹太人被神永远咒诅。
在历史中你们就看到这个，其实这个我觉得还有很多了，可是我觉得最出名的几个教授还有圣徒所教导的，让当时的基督徒有这样子的一个错误的认识，结果这个教导也是开始骗满他们那个时候欧洲的那个地区，结果不但只是这三位而已，Michael 也有跟我们分享过，就是最有名的一位，其实就是我们下一页要看到的，Never mind, actually the one right below that, 再下一个，就是马丁路德。他所教导的其实有可能很多人会被吓一跳，可是希特勒弄那个大屠杀的时候，或者去他在分享他的动力的时候，他其中 quote 的一个人就是马丁路德。他为什么要去把所有犹太人从这个 地上的犹太人除掉，他就在讲马丁路德的教导。那我们再看下一页他是说了什么东西啊？谢谢。
马丁路德宗教改革运动产生新教基督教初期，路德要把福音传给犹太人，1523年发行耶稣生来就是犹太人单张，肯定耶稣是犹太人，但犹太人对信息没有回应，就转成为历史上对犹太人攻击最猛烈的基督教神学家，因他的神学体系存在替代神学。
Amen. So, 就其实从这一点开始就引发一个反犹太的一个教导，然后你只用看历史，其实很多他们英文是叫 religious wars, 宗教战争很多就是我，其实你不用加宗教进去，很多的战争其实都有宗教在这个the motivation 其实是从宗教来的。那真的是我就发现一个教会错误的教导可以引起极大的一个迫害，甚至是怎么开始就是一个反犹太的一个想法。这样子其实我们今天面临同样的一个困难，其实很多圣经也讲得很清楚，会有另外一个更恐怖的大屠杀发生在这个地上。那要到那种程度，一定这个先必须有反犹太主义的想法，还有神学教导遍满教会，遍满美国，遍满全地，这个下一个大屠杀才能发生。圣经是说它会发生，可是我觉得当我们在这个地上的时候，我们有这个权柄把这个会发生的这个时间推后，让更多的犹太人可以认识神，在这个 还有机会的这个时间里面，我觉得这是我们的一个福分。我们今天可以来到这个地方，我们可以为之前基督徒马丁路德或者这些很有名的教授所教的事情来悔改，带给犹太人的逼迫。那我们再回去 ，actually 你可以再回去两三页嘛，我们再念最后一个东西，然后我们就可以再一页这个好不好？麻烦你在这个帮我念一下。
奥古斯丁，主后354到430年，在上帝的城写，犹太人该死，但预定他们在地上流亡，来见证他们受惩罚，且证明教会胜过犹太会堂。犹太人受羞辱越大，说明教会越得胜。基督徒统治犹太人，他们要永远悲惨，做基督徒的奴隶，蒙受永远羞辱耻辱。这就是教会得胜的明证。
Amen. 好，我觉得我读这个的时候就有蛮恐怖的，甚至我觉得有神的这个忧伤在，我相信在我们很多人现在的心中，就是这么有名的一个教授写这样子一句话，那我觉得它产生的影响不小。我们今天可以从历史中发生的这些事情，带来给犹太人带来的这个帕子，是他们没办法认识神。我们可以为这件事情来祷告，来悔改。那我想就是再让大家看到一个犹太人得救的一个见证，让你们也可以比较深刻的体会到吧，就是他们文化 为什么会这么对耶稣反抗，为什么没办法接受耶稣成为他们的弥赛亚。那我们看一看这个 YouTube 的影片。
From growing up in a home that on the outside looked really, really good. We lived in a nice house in a really nice neighborhood and had everything we needed materially. And yet behind closed doors, it was very, very shallow and vacant and left me with a feeling of insecurity. And I was just determined to prove there was a better way to live.I was raised in New York City, into a Jewish family. We attended synagogue on the High Holy Days. I had family members that attended synagogue every Friday, every Shabbat. And in my home, even though we celebrated the holidays, it was really more an understanding that the stories behind the holidays were fairy tales. And the thing that really did make a difference in my life is my mom taught me a prayer when I was a toddler. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. And when my mom taught me that prayer as a little girl, I really knew there was a God.And that stayed with me, and it carried me all through my childhood, my teenage years. I knew that when I prayed that prayer, that there was a God up there. My mom and dad loved me very, very much. I always knew that. But I was also raised in a home where there was a lot of tension. From the time I was a little girl, I lived with the threat of divorce hanging over my head.
Sometimes my parents would talk to each other
for days, and I was the messenger between them.
My, there were a lot of fractured
relationships. My mother and my grandmother hated each other.
My mother and my brother
didn't like each other.
And
I grew up with that just a feeling of insecurity. By the time I got into college,
I
was a very, very angry, rebellious young woman.
I did
dropped LSD, smoked pot.
I lied
a lot of times to cover up my wrongdoing, keep from getting caught. And I love to shock people by the way that I looked, the way that I dressed.
I
love the attention.
So
even at 19 years old and in college, I was still praying that prayer that my mom taught me as a toddler.
And that led me to
really search to find out who is this God.
And
that took me down the road of learning about Hinduism, Buddhism,Transcendental meditation. I worshipped a guru in India. I chanted and just searching in all of these places. And it was about that time in my life that I met Michael, also Jewish. And
we had a
talk one day and talked about our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our thoughts about God. And we were just amazed at the end of this 3-hour conversation that we were so alike. And we both knew after that one talk that we were.
Well,
a month later, Michael came to me and he told me that he believed in Jesus.
And Michael I was devastated because I thought,
oh my gosh, a Jesus freak. This is no good. I mean, after all, I was raised in a home where Jesus was never mentioned. In fact, if we said his name, it was like saying the words profanity. We'd get our mouth washed out with soap.I was raised in a home where, you know, my mom was taught when she was a child that it was all Jesus' fault that Jews have been murdered and persecuted throughout the ages, and that Hitler was a Christian. This was just horrible news for me because
I
knew I couldn't embrace what he did. I couldn't deny the change that I had seen in Michael's life just in this one short month.But I was not at all interested in hearing what he had to say about Jesus. But then one day he came to me and he said, Deb, would you mind if I just read something aloud to you from the New Testament?
And I thought, okay.
Now you got to understand, here I was 20 years old, raised in New York City,
and
never once had I heard or read anything from the New Testament in my whole life.
And I
had no idea that Jesus was Jewish.
我不知道耶稣是犹太人。
I had no idea that he claimed to be the Messiah that
my Jewish people were waiting for all of these years.
In fact, I thought Jesus was Catholic. I grew up near a Catholic church, and there he was on a cross, and I thought he was Catholic. But I said, sure, you can read to me aloud. He opened up to the John chapter 8, the story of the Pharisees bringing the Jewish woman to Jesus.
And the scribes and the Pharisees
brought a woman caught in adultery. And having set her in his midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now, in the law of Moses, it commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say? And as he's reading this to me, I was sitting on the edge of my seat. I had no idea how this story was going to end. And as they were saying this, testing him, in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. When Michael read that line to me,
Jesus
spoke, something in me opened up and I just started to weep. Now, I had read about Buddha and Krishna and all of these other gods out there. But when he spoke these words of Jesus, I knew it was a miracle. It was like God opened my eyes and I saw that this Jesus was different than all the other gods that I had learned about. That this had to be the very, very words of God. In that one verse, all the love and the compassion and the mercy of God was encapsulated in that, and I just started to cry. So though my eyes were open, I immediately was filled with tremendous conflict. How could I, as a Jew, embrace this Jesus? And I remember just closing my eyes and praying and saying, God, if Jesus really is the Messiah, you are really going to have to prove it to me, because I knew the stakes for me were going to be very, very high. And though I've been angry and rebellious, there was still a part of me I did not want to devastate my parents and my whole family. And I knew that God really had to prove to me that I was going down the right path. So the very next day, I was invited to this meeting, and sitting in front of me was a little boy, about 5 years old, with his mom. And the man leading the meeting asked if anyone needed prayer, and the mom raised her hand, and she said her little boy was deaf in his right ear. So the man came up to this little boy and laid his hand on his ear and just simply prayed for healing in the name of Jesus for this little boy Jesus' hearing. And right there in front of my very eyes, I saw this little boy get his hearing. And when I saw that, and that it was done in the name of Jesus, that's all I needed. Well, a week later, I got up the courage to call my mom to tell her the news that I believed in Jesus. And it was a difficult conversation. My mom was devastated. She was furious and really, really disappointed in me, and very, very much hated Michael, because she knew that even though he was Jewish, he was the one that was responsible for introducing me to Jesus. So it was a very, very difficult conversation, and she wound up making an appointment with a rabbi for Michael and I to go see him, in hopes that the rabbi would be able to persuade us to not believe
in Jesus.
And the result of that meeting with the rabbi, he said to my mom afterwards that he believed that we were on the verge of having nervous breakdowns, that we were in a cult, and that we were potential Nazis, which just added to my mom's devastation, because the rabbi said it about to be true. And, it was really a really very, very devastating for her.
Well,
3 months later, Michael and I were married, and sadly, our parents would not attend our wedding because we had a pastor marry us. But shortly after we got married, we were living on the other side of the country, and shortly after we got married, I called my mom, and I wanted to encourage her because I was so happy, and I called to tell her how wonderful Michael was, how he was loving me, he was treating me like a princess, and hoped that it would make her feel better. And instead, she said something like, why don't you just divorce him and come back home and live with him? And when she said that to me, I was so angry at her, I just slammed the phone down. And I went to Michael and I was so angry, I was shaking. And I said, do you know what my mom just said to me? She hates you, she hates our marriage, I don't want her in our lives, she's not good for us, I don't want anything to do with her anymore. She hates you and she hates our marriage. And he listened to me and he said, Deb, you call your mom back and you apologize for hanging up. We are going to love your mom. We are going to love her. You call her to apologize. Well, God had a big cleanup job to do with us. We were, being two drug-using hippies, and He taught us how to be responsible, which was no easy task for two very irresponsible hippies. And over the years, we had two children and raised them to know the Lord. We started a business and had a very happy home and a good family. Everything I always wanted as a little girl in my home, God has blessed me with in my own family. And our children are now married and serving God, and we have grandchildren who we adore. And the best part about this story is that my mom, who at one time years ago hated Michael, now Michael is probably next to my son is her most favorite man walking on the face of the earth. And I know that it's a result of the years of just loving her
very, very much,
and God has blessed that.
神祝福这个爱。
非常谢谢 Michael 给我们的翻译。我觉得你在听这个故事的当中，你可以比较体会到一个犹太人信主的这个过程的难度，无论是在婚姻上或者他自己的对耶稣历史上的认识，你其实就是发现他很不容易，因为很不容易，因为在历史中的那个他们犹太人受到的伤害是很真实在他们的心里面。可是我觉得我们是很有盼望的，因为在最近的时间里面，就是第三批的犹太人得救的这个运动方面，我们再往下一个，就许多许多的犹太人开始认识神。我上个礼拜有分享过，再往下一个。 OK， 好，在2015年，其实那个得救的犹太人的数字是超于20000，是在以色列是超于20000，那这是还是低于1%的犹太人的这个人口。可是我觉得神一直在动工，神可以做，就像你刚才听到在这个故事里面，这个女的是怎么样遇到耶稣，她之前恨他，不想要跟耶稣有任何的关系，因为她觉得甚至希特勒是一个基督徒，她因为希特勒是用基督教的一些背景来做了这个大屠杀，她没办法接受她的先生成为一个基督徒，因为他觉得当他先生接受的时候，他就成为像希特勒一样的这种人。这样子，其实我上个礼拜也讲过 Jews for Jesus 这个团体进到以色列的时候，他们想要传福音，他们把耶稣是弥赛亚的这个单张贴在墙上的时候，这些很保守的犹太人就去攻击他们，打他们，把那些纸拉下，因为他是说，你为什么让我们从想到大屠杀之前发生过的事，你是不是又要再仇恨，就是嘲笑我们一次，我们这种种族在这个地上没有这个权利可以存活。这是很多在犹太人心中他们有可能在对基督徒的一个很深的一个受伤的地方。那我相信神一直在翻转，感谢主，神一直在开门，那我们今天有这个机会可以把这个门开得更大。接着我们的祷告，我们再一次好不好可以来到神面前，我们第一个祷告事项就是为犹太人可以认识神，借着我们的悔改，借着我们来到神面前，代表 Martin Luther Augustine 甚至很多是奉主名去做的这些事情，我们来到神面前求神来洗净他们这个之前犯过的罪，好叫犹太人的这个帕子可以被挪去。